I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League show where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. What's happening, Rob?
Hey, that's me. Welcome, everyone. Thank you, Kevin, for that sturdy yet confident introduction of me by you. I always appreciate the kind words that you have to throw in my direction. But no, excited to be here another week. You know, it's going to be another condensed schedule next week after this week. I'm always talking about the next week, never this week, until we finally get into the momentum of this week. That's funny. I always do the same thing. I'm always
talking about the match week is technically next week.
Yeah, and the funny thing about this week is, listen, the EFL Cup games are over. Now the FA Cup games are in play. You're probably listening to this before the FA Cup games are being played. So listen to 50% of what we're saying as true, because, you know, injuries and stupidity and our basic lack, and our basic guessing methodology is probably going to be completely way off. And yeah, like Kevin said, transfers are still available for another few days, so that could also happen too. But, you know, listen, if you're listening to this and you listen to this as, you know, for transfer advice, start sit advice, don't do anything until after the FA Cup game. We're, you know, I like to think that I'm, you know, I'm a mouse, but I'm really an albatross.
I know you had to put it in.
I had to throw that in there. I've been singing that all day to Kevin.
I have no idea what that reference is
It's a cheesy club song from a few years ago. But anyway, yeah. So don't do anything. Sit on your hands for a little bit, and also sit on your hands even further, because with the results of today's EFL Cup games and the impact that it has on the future scheduling, now that there's going to be four teams blanking in week 26. So that is a future impact, and I do want to touch on this right away. So, Kev, we're going to jump right into this.
That's good.
With the four teams off now, so it's City, United, Southampton, and Arsenal are all blanking in week 26. And with the FA Cup games going to affect the week 28 schedule, which is 2 weeks after the four teams are already blanking, Kevin, when are you proactively looking at your roster to formulate a good, you know, mixture of guys that you need to get in and get out, so you're not, you know, hamstrung by those blank weeks?
Well, I think you need to start looking ahead now. And I do think that people that listen to us in December are in a better place, because we recommended kind of having a stronger bench through that period. And if you still have done that, if you didn't, you know, crazy upgrade to Aguero or Kane or anything like that, you should still have a decent bench, and I think that's the best way to deal with things like this, because then you have the option of either sticking with a player and just subbing him 1 week, or if you have to sell, you know, to get a decent team in there. Match week 26 as it is, there are already some matches that are going to be probably fairly lopsided. Chelsea, Swansea, and Everton, Sunderland are kind of the two that are really sticking out to me right now. So maybe start eyeing shifts to those guys. I know Chelsea have a really tough run at the moment, but things should clear up around then. But yeah, I'd keep an eye on it now. And I don't think that players like Alexis or Ozil, or probably not Walcott because he's been injured, but like Ibra, a lot of people have been bringing in Pogba there for a little bit. I don't think any of them are above being dropped if you're in a situation where your team is healthy enough, where you have enough transfers that you can swap them out around then. But I definitely say, you know, start looking ahead now, because it'll definitely be a shortened game week, as you mentioned. And the fact that it's Arsenal, City, and United is pretty big. The only Southampton player you're probably owning still is Van Dijk, and now he's hurt for a while. So, I think it's very good to bring that up. And as you said, we'll have even more clarification after these FA Cup matches.
Yeah, I think that going into week 26, I think that you should at minimum not use your wild card. I don't think that's an option. I think that the wild card is basically a double game week move if you haven't used it already, because some people need to rescue their roster and salvage themselves. But I think if you have your wild card still available to you, I think you hold on to it before or after these games conclude and wait for a double game week, because now there are going to be double game weeks because these games have to get made up, whether they get put on a certain we don't know the dates that they're going to get put in, but I would wait for the double game week. And the four teams that can't blank in either game are probably going to get a little extra attention. They are West Brom, West Ham, Bournemouth, and Everton. So those four teams can't blank in either 26 or 28 because they've been eliminated from both cup fixture, so they don't have any further ramifications on their scheduling. So that's something to keep in mind.
I'm gonna own Lukaku at some point.
Yeah, it's gonna be a thing because based on the percentages, there's a good chance that a lot of the good players that are playing in week 26 are probably gonna blank in week 28. You know, like Chelsea is a high percentage to blank in week 28. So it's going to be a good shifting around. Hey, you know what? It's good practice for next year when we all suck again. But but yeah, no, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to the FA Cup a little bit. I just want to see nobody get hurt. Nobody significant get hurt. I mean, Dean Marnie can get hurt. I could care less. But but guys of that nature. But yeah, I just want to see a clean game. Get ready for the slate on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then, we re-attack on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, of interesting note on injuries, Kane, Toby, and Danny Rose are all being held out of the EFL Cup match at the weekend, mm-hmm. With Pochettino saying that they're all probably going to play Tuesday, but they all got yellow flags because of it. So, And I only know that because I'm a Spurs fan. I'm sure, other fans of other clubs know the little niggles going on at their team. So just kind of be sure, as you mentioned, not only could they pick up injuries here, but there may be players held out because they're supposed to play midweek. So you just have to be really focused on your team at the moment and just make sure that everybody's okay and will play Tuesday, Wednesday.
That, from a fantasy perspective, that's kind of a good thing because their price is locked. They can only drop once now. So That's a good thing when a flag goes up. They can only drop in price once. I mean, nobody really wants to own, Spurs players, but...
Yeah, Dele Alli is super invaluable. Invaluable? Wait, not... Wow, my whole brain just spasmed.
Not valuable.
Sure, we'll go with that. Also, we did mention some transfer stuff. People that I like that Rob apparently already doesn't like. Mbaye Niang going to Watford, I think, offers them a lot of pace that they need. If they decide to play Niang and success more often, I would be much more excited about that Watford team. And looks like Hesse may be on his way to Middlesbrough. They create the fewest chances in the league. They have the worst attack in the league. And as I mentioned to Rob off air, I think it's interesting that they're replacing a Wunderkind from 4 years ago with Fischer, with Hesse from like 3 years ago. So it'll be interesting if he can live up to it. But both Hesse and Niang have a lot of pace. And if they could really start contributing to their teams, they could become very interesting fantasy values. I don't think either of them are in the game yet.
No,
but I'm sure we'll tweet out from our stuff when they are, whether or not they're worth it.
What do you think the headline at Middlesbrough is going to be for their signing? What are you talking about, Hesse? What do you think, I'm loco?
I'm loco crazy. I don't know. How about Hesse's girl? No, that'll be the article about as well.
I like the Cypress Hill throwback there a little bit. What are you talking about, Hesse?
Yeah.
If you know I'm local.
Solid stuff there. Any other transfer stuff that I'm missing?
Snodgrass is a speculative thing right now.
As we're recording, yeah.
The skipper of Hull has said that it'll be finalized within the hour after the game concluded, so... I mean, in all speculative thing, if we're saying this now, he's going to be, by the time you're listening to this, he may be in a Hammer jersey.
Yeah.
So he's going to be blowing bubbles very soon.
Well, there you go. Actually, that leads us very handily. We liked doing the kind of either or bit last week, comparing players head to head. So I'll lead off on this because you segued into it masterfully.
Who would you
rather have? Snodgrass from Hull or Snodgrass at West Ham?
I'd like to see the lineup the first time he plays for the Hammers, because I want to see where he fits on the pitch with them, whether he's complimenting Lanzini up ahead of him, if Lanzini's playing to the right or to the left of him, you know, where Mikel Antonio is playing, you know, where Andy Carroll is actually, if he's playing. That'll be the big significant for me for a Mastandres thing. At his price, 5.8, he was a great buy at Hull because he did everything. The thing that I don't think that carries over is I don't think he remains the PK taker there or on a lot of set pieces. Yeah. He may step up and take some set pieces eventually, not right away, but eventually. Basically, if he does get on PKs, you know, basically if Mark Noble had any value, it's depleted and gone. But yeah, I'd say Snodgrass at Hull, only because I don't know where he fits into the puzzle with West Ham currently.
Yeah, I think it's an absolute mess at West Ham because you already have IU there. I know Fuguli's been disappointing, but he's still an option. Lanzini has really stepped up in Payet's absence, and Mikel Antonio can play 11 places on a pitch. So I agree. It's going to be very interesting to see how they sort them. If I had to guess, I'd say Lanzini out left, Snodgrass center, Antonio right. Maybe. Yeah,
that makes sense. Antonio's a Swiss Army knife, dude. He could play anywhere. Dude, just stud.
It's true. But also, Andre Ayew from the summer was literally their most expensive signing ever.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think he's going to find a spot.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, Diafra Sakho is arguably better than Andy Carroll. And he's still hurt, and he's going to come back at some point. So then are you playing two up front? Because if so, that takes away some of these positions. So it's going to be a whole mess. So yeah, I agree with you. I like Snodgrass better at Hull. And of all of the options, I would have liked Snodgrass the most at Burnley, which is where it looked like he was going to be heading as recently as like 5 hours ago.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'll jump into my first one because it's a brilliant segue because you basically said both teams and a player that I'm going to throw at you. So you mentioned West Ham. You did mention Burnley. Everybody's always on the snipe for a viable third striker candidate. I know this week probably favors one guy more than the other. Maybe. So my two to you, Kevin, Andre Gray or Andy Carroll?
Andre Gray. It's not even that close for me. It should be, but it's not. Because I don't know if you remember, like a month and a half ago, I told people to buy in on Carroll. I did it in my own team, and he did nothing for the 3 weeks I owned him, sold him, and then all of a sudden he's doing bicycle kicks, scoring two in a game, being an asshole. But I love Andre Gray. I love Andre Gray's pace. It really looks like he's developed well. As we mentioned yesterday on our DFS show, he's like everything that Danny Ings was supposed to develop into. Has the pace, has the finishing, creates his own chances, gets behind the defense, just hassles the back line all match.
And he does take PKs.
And he does, yeah. So I'd probably take Andre Gray in that scenario.
Yeah. I just threw. I like Gray as well there, but there's a lot of gossip. You know, people are liking the upcoming West Ham fixtures. Yeah. You know, and you know, Carroll is coming off a game where he did score two goals. So, you know, price wise, they're mirror image of each other. Points on the season, they're very close. So that's why I threw that one in your direction.
Well, I have a follow-up for yours. Like, apparently, we're going back and forth. Would you take – because you picked Andre Gray over Andy Carroll, yeah?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So who would you prefer between Andre Gray and your once-upon-a-time boy, Solomon Rondon?
Oh, it's Gray. Okay. I don't trust West Brom. I don't trust West Brom's
goal-scoring ability. Because they just scored two again. Like, it looks like that Tottenham match was the blip.
Yeah, I don't trust Rondon. I know the schedule is completely in his favor, probably if you compare him in comparison to Andre Gray and Burnley's. But you know, I'd pick Gray up until week 26, and then after that, because Burnley can blank in week 28. So and West Brom is safe. So from that standpoint, in the future, Rondon, but Gray for the immediate future.
Fair enough.
Okay, my turn. Let's get into some high price guys.
Right.
You know, both these guys over 10 million in salary. I'm going to throw this at you, Kev. Eden Hazard or Kevin De Bruyne? Hazard is kind of lying in the weeds, hasn't really manufactured anything positive for fantasy owners. And then De Bruyne hadn't done anything for four or five games there, and then he comes back with a goal and assist last week. So who are you going to go with?
I think it's De Bruyne. I mean, Hazard burned me hard again. It seems like he goes on these great runs. I finally buy in, and then he does nothing. De Bruyne, I mean, I'm also concerned about Manchester City's attack, to be fair, but I think De Bruyne is more often involved in team moves than Hazard is. Hazard's moves tend to be pretty isolated. It's like him versus his guy. He just tears up the whole pitch, and then you knock over your mic.
Man down.
But anyway, yeah, I think I'd probably go De Bruyne at this point, and actively, because I just transferred out Hazard.
So yeah, I'd probably pick De Bruyne. I think that Chelsea options are becoming more limited now. The way that you're only allowed three players from each team, and the stoutness that is the Chelsea defense, I think that one of your players, you know, from the team has to be an investment in their defense in order to keep pace with everybody else, you know, basically keep up with the Joneses. And I think Diego Costa, now that there's no starting concerns, everything's all, you know, nice and tidy, and they've kissed and made up, I think he's probably the second. And I'm more on the side of, I'd rather have guaranteed clean sheet points from a second defender at Chelsea at you know, cheaper than 10, obviously, because defenders aren't 10 million. Then risk the run of bad games that Hazard has gone through. So I'd probably, since you're only allowed three, I'd probably double up on a Chelsea defense and then pick Costa. That would be my thing, and that would be my vote against Hazard. So I'd probably lean De Bruyne there because of the hindrances on the lineup thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm going to go defense, sticking with Everton, who have rapidly improved. Would you rather have Seamus Coleman or Leighton Baines?
You know,
don't
I actually
say
had this
Holgate. That was last week's episode.
I actually had this one written down as one of mine also. You know, they're both interesting defensive candidates here for both, you know, for both guys. Both are basically playing the adjunct wing role. Basically, they're basically the Everton version of Marcus Alonso and Victor Moses right now, because Everton is rolling a back three with Williams, Holgate, and Funes Mori, whoever you want to throw back there, and it's working. They're defensively starting to click. They're starting to come together. And from a fantasy perspective, Everton defense is a positive buy right now. I know their prices 5.6 are very similar. Coleman has been shocking the world lately with 12 and 15 in his last two games, 6 bonus points. I think he's within 2 points net, two bonus points on the season of Baines. But I love both guys. I'd probably stick with Leighton Baines only because he probably takes more direct kicks at goal than Coleman. That's the only factor there. I would love to have both guys. Their prices are moderately to the middle. They're scoring in the top 10 for defenders, I believe. So, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I'd like Baines only because if push came to shove and there was a PK to be taken, Baines is going to take it over Coleman every day.
Yeah, and I think Baines is more likely to assist, while Coleman's more likely to score, I think is kind of the divide between the two of them. But in case you're wondering why we're talking about this, not only have they been much better of late, with, what, 4 clean sheets in their last 5, Coleman with a goal and an assist in that period, but these are the numerical in rankings of attack teams that they're about to face. Not in order, but 4th, 8th, 9th, 12th, 19th, and 20th. Out of the next 6? Yeah. It's out of the next 5, yeah. Tottenham being the only one of significance. Bournemouth and West Brom are both in there, but they're 8th and 9th. So they're like just above. I mean, these are some good fixtures. And that team, much like when Tottenham switched to 3 at the back, has instantly started playing better. And once Schneiderlin really gets involved in that team, you pair him next to Idrissa Gueye, who, by the way, again, is the second best defensive midfielder in the Premier League now. I think Conte's actually slipped. I think it's now Wanyama, Gueye, Conte. And it's only true because of these shifts to the 3. I think Conte probably is the most well-rounded of the 3. But in the new roles of both Wanyama and Gueye, they're just there to destroy everything, and both of them are terrific at it.
Yeah.
So they're both protecting those back lines very, very well. So yeah, I do not think that this is a flash in the pan. I think this Everton defense is for real. And I was too early on this, by the way. At the start of the season, I said I thought they'd be for real under Coleman. And it just seems like it's finally
clicking.
Really getting there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll do one more for me.
Right.
Only because, both these guys have been getting some good love from us lately in probably recent podcasts. One guy longer than the other. But they're probably similar. And we were just talking about Everton, Kevin Morelish, and Matt Phillips.
It's Matty P for me, but I do own both. So this is...
I know you do own both. That's why I was asked. That's why I had to ask you, because
yeah, that hits close. I think the difference is I do think Phillips is a little better and he's a little cheaper, but I think both are super ownable right now. Like I said, I'm scared. I'm biting on this Everton thing hard. Not with Lukaku yet because I'm terrified. Although you bringing up that they're not going to have any blanks is real scary to me because I can feel myself bringing in Lukaku at some point and then hating it.
Yeah.
But I love what we've seen out of Morales. He is much more involved in play. He's looked so good. And we have talked in the past that he can be very temperamental. He can have streaks and of good and bad. I just think we're on a hot streak right now. And also, one of the reasons I was willing to bring in Morales is A, it facilitated my downshift from Hazard. And B, once we know where Snodgrass is and once we know that Zaha is back and fit and everything because he has returned from AFCON, it's easy to shift off of him for me. But at the moment, I would take Phillips over Morales, but I take both of them over some of the other options out there.
Yeah, I agree. I found it interesting. I saw a chart where like the last three or four games that Morales has started, he's basically playing laterally of how high Lukaku is playing on the pitch. So that just shows you where he's playing. I love Matty Phillips. I love what he brings to West Brom. He's probably one of the best advanced wing players for his price. He's basically giving you Mahrez last year.
I mean, he's value. One of the best advanced players, period.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
also his price is insane.
Yeah. And his price is 5.5. You know, he's basically returning you like Mahrez type value these last 10, 11 weeks, you know, based on his price where Mahrez was last year and now where Phillips is this year.
Also, you know, I love that you listed him at 5.5 because that's when you brought him in. He's at 5.9.
Yeah, he's 5.9 now. Yeah. That just shows how long I've been on Matty Phillips.
Yeah, mine's 5.5 as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so I apologize for giving the wrong price.
Sorry, we're so good.
Sorry, we're so advanced in this game. All right, Kevin, let's move on to quadratic theory of mass configuration of the midfielders.
I do want to take a beat, though, because I just mentioned an interesting one that wasn't on my list. But if right now, this week, without knowing the fate of Snodgrass or Zaha, who would you prefer?
Zaha.
Okay.
Do you think there's a higher chance
he plays for Crystal Palace than Snodgrass plays for whoever the hell he plays for?
Yeah, I think Zaha comes back in on, I think their fixture's Tuesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday. So I think he comes in Tuesday, and I think he plays. Crystal Palace has greatly missed him. So I think he's going to be a welcome back addition, welcome back Carter type thing going on there. And he's only going to help other players around him. You know, Benteke is somebody that I would look at this week. You know, not this week, but maybe in the future, because I think Zaha, his facilitation to help Benteke off the ball will give Benteke back a little bit of value, not, you know, tremendous value, but he'll be back on fantasy radars again because of it.
Yeah. Also, this is kind of a surprise thing. Have you done your rankings yet this week?
No, they'll go up to tomorrow at Rasball.com.
All right. Well, I won't pester you on that, but
you could do it. I got them in my head.
Okay. Interested to hear what your five forwards are at the moment. Just because it seems like there's this split now of the top five of Kane, Costa, Aguero, Ibrahimovic, and Lukaku. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like every week they're just shifting a little. Aguero dropped from like 1 to 4.
Yeah, I don't like Aguero this week against West Ham. I'd probably have Aguero 3. I'd probably have Ibra 1 against Hull. They do face off again.
Yeah.
So I think Ibra against Hull. I'd have probably Costa 4 because I don't like going against Liverpool. I think that he could be neutralized there. It could be a boring 1-1 game. I probably have Lukaku 2 and then Aguero 3, Costa 4. I think of all the games on the slate, if you look at the games, Everton versus Stoke, United versus Hull, Liverpool versus Chelsea, Man City versus West Ham, tell me which guy you think could probably score 2 goals, and it's probably Lukaku.
Yeah, I mean, Kane versus Sunderland isn't that.
Well, you know what? I did forget Kane. So Kane would probably be 2, then Lukaku 3, Aguero 4, Costa 5.
Yeah.
I did miss Kane. I apologize.
I mean,
once again,
super deep in my heart. I may put Lukaku just a touch ahead of Kane because of that yellow flag. I'm not worried about it. I assume he plays, but man.
I think it's just a rest thing. I think he has to come out and say, listen, he's not playing because he's resting, but we can't say that because, you know, we want to win the FA Cup, so we're not putting our best team out there. So
and it is against Wickham.
Wickham.
Yeah.
Connor? It's against Connor Wickham, dude. It's 11-1.
It's against Wickaldino. And Connor Wickham's hurt real bad.
Dude, that's messed up. That's not even fair. 11-1. And he's not even healthy.
Yeah, well, he's just going to be rolled around in a gurney. The whole time
running around the field in jazzy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I just pulled up my rankings for this week. So yeah, I have Ibra, Lukaku, Kane, Costa, Aguero. I have Aguero 5 against West Ham. Ooh, I'm not sure I agree with that actually.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is a valuable point. Is none of them are bad matchups.
No, they're just they need A to happen for B, I guess. Yeah. You know, because West Ham's not awful at home defensively. So I mean,
but they're also not going to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, no, but and Man City's not the offensive juggernaut they had that they've been chugging along as either. So that's why you look at it and you're like, well, Man United's playing Hull, so that Ibra's definitely probably won.
Yeah,
you know, Lukaku's playing probably the second rated worst team besides Kane there because Sunderland could be okay. So I'd probably put Lukaku 2 or 3. Yeah.
We do have that strange situation where United are playing Hull again because they played today as we're recording.
Forget it. I'm just putting Andre Gray 1, Negredo 2, Solomon Rondon 3, and then
Carol 4.
Shane Long 4.
Good. all right, fair enough. Should we talk price changes, or is that even relevant since we have such a long time before?
There's only a couple. I might as well read them because I did notes on them all. So
we'll
do price ups, price downs. There's more downs than ups, which is pretty normal because people are treading off of their certain guys. So here's the ups: Seamus Coleman, Phil Jones, Kyle Walker. Like I mentioned before about Seamus Coleman, 12 and 15 in his last two, 6 bonus points during that time. Their next 4 fixtures upcoming: Stoke, Bournemouth, Borough, and Sunderland. You need an Everton defender in the next 4 games. There's no other. If you don't own one, go get one. That should be your one transfer this week. If you have 2 transfers, by all means, go get 2. Phil Jones, cheapest entry point into a United defense, and they play Hull this week. Kyle Walker, 2 clean sheets, 2 assists in his last 3. By game time, he's going to be the highest priced non-Chelsea or Arsenal defender. How's that? That's a good stat, by the way. You're welcome. Through the midfield, Dele Alli has gone up. 65 points in his last 6 games. He's the man's on fire right now. Darren Fletcher, goal makes everyone look better, especially Darren Fletcher. He's got a goal every 10 games. Yeah. Way to go, Darren. And my new favorite 5th midfield punt and the guy I've currently been writing his name on my Trapper Keeper every day for the last week, Tom Davies, the 4.5 midfielder from Everton. I heart Tom. That's all it is. I think he's probably found a place in my heart based on his flowing locks, and I don't see him coming out of the lineup unless he does something stupid. I think Coleman likes him, and I think he's going to sit there. I think that they found success with him there, and I think they only build from that, I hope. Also on the ups for the forwards, Diego Costa, he's gone up because there's no more roster concerns. He's going to play. Harry Kane also went up. 6 goals, 2 assists in his last 5. Interesting note, Spurs have scored more than 2 goals in their last 8 games. Congratulations. Yeah. On the downs, Claudio Bravo. He went down because if you don't know how to read shots versus goals allowed, it's the new Claudio Bravo stat. Daily Blind has gone down. I think there's just no roster room. I think people are trending down from him and getting the cheaper Phil Jones in. Eden Hazard has gone down 4-2-6-7 in his last 4. Victor Moses has also gone down. He's not really doing enough. I know he got an assist last week, so there's that. Wilfred Zaha has gone down. He's coming back from AFCON. That's good for you that his price has gone down because it's not going to go down anymore. He's coming back. His price is probably going to go right back up. And Riyad Mahrez has gone down because he's garbage. Oh, interesting stat about Moses. I did some math with him. Victor Moses sits on 73 points currently. Chelsea have 12 clean sheets with him on the pitch. If he was a defender this year, he'd be a top 4 scoring defender in the Premier League. which is an interesting thing, because technically he is playing a defensive defender, but whatever. Also on the ups, Christian Benteke's gone up. I mentioned before, Zaha's return is only going to help him at his price. He's only 7.3. I could probably see that holding pace for probably 2 weeks and then probably going up if he does something. On the forwards, there's a lot of forwards, and then I'll get into a whole group of guys that are all pretty much linked together. Origi and Iheanacho have gone up. They're basically bench fodder now because they haven't been performing or been replaced by Jesus. Yeah, they've gone down. Yeah. Troy Deeney, Watford just doesn't score enough, and he doesn't offer anything that he did like he did last year. And then there's a group of four guys. They're pretty high profile teams. Adam Lallana, Sadio Mane, Henrik Mkhitaryan, and David Silva have all gone down, which they're all pretty good facilitators of the ball, but they've all gone down. I think people are just moving laterally to either other options on their own current team or, you know, doing something else. Of course, Mane is at AFCON and he hasn't come back yet. Mkhitaryan is price and, you know, what he's been doing. Silva, you know, Man City is scuppering right now to get consistent tallies. You know, he's just not being involved in it. That's probably a good reason why. So that concludes the price ups and price downs. Heaven.
Commercial break.
Break yourself.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, we're back.
Hey.
That was a nice break. You guys have a relaxing time?
I had a Kit Kat on that break.
Oh, could you break me off a piece of that?
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks. That was me eating it. I'm sure that was not very pleasing to listen to. All right, well, now we are into buy-sell. For me, buying forward Andre Gray at 6.2, has 4 goals in 5. Burnley have scored in all of those 5. Leicester have the 3rd worst away defense. Simple as. Mm-hmm. Love Andre Gray. We already talked about him. He's great. Dele Alli, you already mentioned he's up to 8-8 now. If you feel left behind, don't worry. There's plenty of space on this bandwagon. He is now the 3rd highest in fantasy points. Total. Mm-hmm. Period. Yep. He's been nuts. And I don't think it's going to change against Sunderland. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that Middlesbrough match not this week, but the following, home or away? That could actually change my opinion on that. If it's away, I still love it. If it's Middlesbrough... Yeah, okay, it's at White Hart Lane, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to love these next couple matchups. And then what is it, Liverpool after that? And that's not scary,
nope.
Defensively. So yeah, Sunderland, Borough, Liverpool, Stoke, Everton, Palace, Southampton aren't the team they used to be. Oh, Burnley away is going to suck. Oh my gosh, Tottenham have such a nice run of matches. I really should have known this already. Basically through April.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Basically, then, Easter is basically their
good. And then Arsenal and United are tough matches, but they're both at home.
So basically, the advice you're giving people is wait for Jesus to come out of the cave and then get rid of Spurs players.
You know what? I might just hold. Wow.
hold Jesus in the cave? That's wrong, dude.
I mean, that Southampton Burnley back to back isn't like the best.
No.
But then it ends with Arsenal, West Ham, United, Hull. Like I genuinely might hold on to Harry Kane for the rest of the season.
Nice.
Wow. Wait, we're going to have some weird matches. And you assume that Tottenham are going to beat Wickham, which means they'll probably be one of the teams missing in 28. We'll see, though. But that is not a bad run now that I really look at it. Okay, yeah, so Dele Alli, don't feel that fine. He's great. In defenses I like this week, United, West Brom, Arsenal, and Burnley. West Brom and Arsenal, feel free to keep a freaking clean sheet. But mm-hmm. Burnley and United, I feel you can trust even more. West Brom and Arsenal do have good matchups, though. Who you got?
On defense, I'll second your West Brom defense nod there. Pick one other than McCauley. Be a differential. Dawson's owned in 1.3. Chris Brunt, 2.8. Neom is 1.4. West Brom, like you said, if they can get it past the 85th minute with clean, I think they probably coast the rest of the 5 minutes. Because they always like to break our, they always like to break our hearts. Through the midfield, listen, I mentioned it before, 4.5 is the new 5.5 for midfielder, fifth midfielder punts. And that's still Tom Davies. I'm still going to talk about him. I still heart Tom Davies. Like I said, if you're going to punt on a fifth midfielder, why don't you get a guy that's actually useful, actually playing, and actually contributing at a cheaper discount? I mean, to me, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, whatever. Yeah. On forward, I second your Andre Gray, and I'll throw in an Andy Carroll for this week as well. I'm a believer that the two goals last week can not continue this week, but I think he gets a tally or some sort this week. So yeah, Andy Carroll is my forward, because since you stole Andre Gray and made him look more shiny because you said it. And then onto my sits up top, for Fernando Llorente, do it again. Two goals against Liverpool. I want to see you do it again. That's the only bad thing I have to say. Do it again. You know, I know that they're not playing the same defensive woeful team as Liverpool this week, so maybe the results will be different. You know, I don't know, Kev. What do you think there? You think that they'll be different because Man City's defense is just as bad as Liverpool's?
I mean, I don't think you can trust Man City's defense much.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, I'm not scared of Otamendi at all.
You know what? I'm not going to go on this. Chris, if you're listening to this, one of my for real life friends got a little triggered that I complained about Otamendi on our Premier League show. But just the fact that he acts so tough and then goes down so easy.
They actually play Southampton this week. I was 1 week ahead, but even then it's still not scary because Southampton is all banged up.
You're saying Swansea?
Yeah. Swansea plays Southampton this week. I said Man City, but that's
next. Southampton don't have Font or Van Dijk.
No.
So I'm
no,
not they're, super confident they're, in that
they're,
either.
They're banged up. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I even though Llorente has a good matchup versus a weak defense, I want to see him do it again. And then maybe I'll be a believer at his price tag of 6.1. Through the midfield, Kevin De Bruyne, a goal and assist last week. The price tag is just scaring me away. Basically, I'm scared of any midfielder besides Alexis Sanchez, who has won blank in the last, like, 18 weeks, I think, or 13 weeks.
Yeah, saved the death last week. But
Yeah. And on defense, I'm running from any Liverpool or Chelsea defender this week. You can't really bench your Chelsea defenders because their positive output is very offensive. The guys you're probably owning, you know, a vast majority owns Marcus Alonso, and you're not going to sit Marcus Alonso against Liverpool, even though I don't think there's a chance in high holy hell that either team keeps it clean.
Yeah, first and the third best ranked attacks in the Premier League in that match. For me, for selling, I kind of came to this realization earlier when we were going through those top five strikers. It's actually a pretty good week for big strikers, so I don't really hate any of them, but this is just a gentle reminder to not trust Deeney or Negredo at all. Also, I don't mind Defoe this week, even against Tottenham's defense. As I mentioned in our other show, Tottenham, Lloris coming off the worst match of his season, no Vertonghen, maybe no Toby, maybe no Rose. I'm just not sure this is going to be the stable defense we always expect to see. And Defoe, revenge game.
And it's a revenge game. And it's a revenge game.
Yeah.
Bring that up again.
I will. It's a revenge game.
There you go.
He left Tottenham, what, three times now? So, yeah, I really think Defoe could get on the score sheet this week. But I think he's on 12 right now. Just a gentle reminder that he's never scored more than 18 in a season. So, you know, I know he's been doing well. Sunderland aren't creating nearly enough chances for him. I'm just saying, you know, that might start, just the gaps between goals may start to increase.
That's a funny stat. So Jermaine Defoe is kind of like Adam Johnson. They both have never scored 18.
Oh my gosh. We are briskly moving along from that to me complaining about Eden Hazard. I already complained about him. I kicked him out of my team. That garbage performance against Hull has earned himself a long stay on the me not caring about him bandwagon. So yeah, I'm completely off on him, as are many others, because his price has already dropped, what, two times, three times, in the past couple weeks. So yeah, definitely out on him. Defenses I don't like, I just mentioned the Tottenham reasons. Obviously it's a good defense. I just don't think we're going to see the best of them. Stoke, I think, are going to have some difficulties this week, against Everton. We're in fine form. And then you mentioned both sides of the Liverpool Chelsea. I'll mention both sides of Palace Bournemouth. I don't think either of them have any chance of keeping it clean either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good tout. That game's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be up and down, back and forth.
Poor man's goal fest.
Yeah, there you go. Poor man's something fest.
Fair enough. All right, let's quickly go through our teams. Have you made any changes this week?
Yes, I have brought in two midfielders. I brought in the guy I'm in love with, Tom Davies, at 4.4. He's too cheap to not bring in and be your fifth midfielder. And then I brought in Dele Alli. I know I'm late to the wagon, but I'm still hitching on. So I brought those two midfielders in. I shipped out Lallana and Kabai, only because I was rostering Kabai for some reason. So I will roll a 3-5-2 this week. I'll Foster in goal, Baines as Pulaqueta, and either Daniels Alonso. I'll probably roll the double Chelsea just in case. And then through the midfield, I'll have Davy, Sanchez, Stanislas, Phillips, Ali, and then up top, Ibrahimovic and Kane for my team.
Yeah, for me, I made a triple move because I had to get Hazard out. I already had two free transfers, so it is just one minus. So I brought in... where are they? I've downgraded from Hazard to Morales. I brought in Heaton for Hugo Lloris because I'm not sure, even though they're facing two of the worst attacks in the league, I'm not confident that Tottenham keep it clean the next 2 weeks. Heaton's second highest scoring goalkeeper at 5.0. It was the amount of difference I needed to be able to upgrade my third move, which was Origi all the way up to Harry Kane. So my front three is Kane, Ibra, and Giroud. I do not have a problem downgrading Giroud after this week or Morales. Just depending on how things shape up, how Zaha looks if he plays, when we know more about Snodgrass. I have a lot of flexibility there. So as I'm lining up right now, I'm in the 3-4-3. Heaton at the back, Phil Jones, Cedric, and Coleman. Oh, by the way, I wanted to get rid of Cedric, but then he went and did that last week, and now he's up against Swansea. So he's earned himself a stay of execution. Also, do you remember 3 weeks ago when I said I was 1 week away from getting rid of Coleman? And then he started doing this nonsense?
Thank God you didn't.
So apparently I just need to keep complaining about players and how I'm going to get rid of them, and then they show up. But anyway, so it's Heaton, Jones, Cedric, Coleman. Then across the four, Stanislas, Eriksen, Sanchez, and Morales. Although I have Phillips on my bench right now against a very good Middlesbrough defense, I could really play any two of Morales, Stanislas, and Phillips and really wouldn't mind. And then up front, as I mentioned, Kane against Sunderland, Ibrahimovic against Hull, and Giroud versus Watford. That there could be a lot of goals in that, which I'm very excited about. I already mentioned Phillips on the bench, joined by Adam Smith, who I also don't mind against Crystal Palace, and still have Kingsley as my price dump. Want to do that to Holgate at some point, but it just hasn't happened yet. But anyway, the fact that I have Phillips and Smith on my bench, I absolutely love. And that's why I said earlier, like, what's the approach to match week 26? I just think it's having lots of depth so that you aren't forced into moves. And you can bring in players that you already trust in. Because, like, right now, I could have played a 4-4-2. Like, if match week 26 happened tomorrow, if I, some reason, was, like, in a coma or just slept through it, I could wake up tomorrow and roll Kane, Giroud, Stanislas, Eriksen, Phillips, Morales, Jones, Cedric, Coleman. Oh, no Jones. So Smith, Cedric, Coleman, and Heaton. And I'd be absolutely fine. That's with Alexis and Ibrahimovic on my bench. And that is not a bad team. Like, you might make a move, but you aren't forced to. And that's something I think is very important. In the coming weeks, Rob, who are you captaining?
I can't take it off Sanchez. I mean, he's had one blank week in the last 13 without a tally. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it's either probably going to be Sanchez or Ibrahimovic this week.
Yeah, I just was talking about how much I love the depth of my squad, but it's led to some problems because I think I could legitimately captain Ibra, Kane, Eriksen, or Sanchez and be pleased. Yeah. But I do also agree with you. I've left the armband. Is there some way for me to check this? I never have. I don't know if there's some way for me to check Sanchez, but I don't think I've taken the band off of him. Well, anytime in recent memory. Who knows how long ago it was.
It's been a month for me, so.
Yeah, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4... he had, one blank since match week 12.
Yeah, it's like 12 matches in a row. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
He at least kept a clean sheet that week, so you even got 6 out of that one if you kept.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's been bonkers. It does kind of feel like that in fantasy sometimes, doesn't it? Like, he's earned it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing, but
he's earned it.
Yeah. Work it, but is it worth it? Flip that, mix it. and reverse
put your,
it.
Put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
Yep. There you go. Man, was that Missy?
Mm-hmm.
Good time.
And then she says something in reverse, and then she says something backwards.
Yeah.
It says something about getting wet. I don't know. I don't want to think about Missy Elliott wet, to be honest.
You keep taking this to a weird place. Good news for people at home is that we're both apparently going to Captain Sanchez. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter show, apparently. But go UC, playing Xavier tonight. Screw him. I was actually at the fight against Xavier.
Nice.
Where Yancey laid the smack down. And I usually try to not condone violence in sports. But Xavier is literally the worst.
Nice.
Closely followed by Louisville.
Yeah, I could agree with you there. With Louisville,
at least. Who do you hate collegiately? I mean, outside the boring ones, like Duke and UNC or whatever.
Who do I hate?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a St. John's fan, so I hold some old school Big East.
Yeah. How about hating like Pitt and Syracuse for ruining the Big East?
For like Georgetown. I don't like Georgetown and UConn, I think, were the two I could live without.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd stick with those.
Fair enough. I hate Pitt and Syracuse for ruining the Big East in the first place by mm-hmm. switching over to the ACC like a bunch of assholes. And I hate Louisville for taking our place in the Big 12. And I hate Ohio State because they blackballed us from even being applicable to the Big Ten, which would have made sense because UC is at its core an engineering school. But Ohio State mm-hmm. was worried we'd take commits, which is the same reason they scheduled a home and away. And then those 2 years we made the Orange Bowl. The year after that, we were supposed to start a home and away. And after we made it to the second Orange Bowl, they canceled it because they were worried we'd take their recruits.
Was that with Gunnar Keel as your quarterback?
No, it was when Tony Pike was our quarterback. You'll find.
Wait, was Gunnar Keel actually a Cincinnati quarterback? That right? All right, cool. I was making sure my brain still worked.
Yeah, he came back for grad school and lost the job.
That's funny.
Which is real awkward. But yeah, that was the Tony Pike, Marty Gilliard, Isaiah Pede.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those were some good teams, man. This is what I was saying is the years that I was at UC, we were top 20 in both football and basketball at some point, 4 of those 5 years. And
it had to be because of you. It had to be because of you.
Well, I'm just saying it was definitely the best time to be there. No Sean Kilpatrick. He's a great dude. Now balling for the Nets. I mean, the Nets aren't balling, mm-hmm. but he's balling for them. Man, that was a really fun time. Justin Jackson was awesome in basketball. Yancey obviously was huge, but a waste of talent. But he was a fun guy. Anyway, I'm done reminiscing.
Justin Jackson? Isn't that the kid from... That's the guy from Dawson's Creek, isn't it?
That's Josh Jackson. But I think there's also another Justin Jackson in sports now.
Oh. I think I saw that.
But yeah.
These people get on the same page. They got to change their names.
Yeah, we complain about when the names get crazy and then also complain when the names are the same.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can't win. Should we have a random question? We're like super early.
Nah, we're good. We're at 40 something. We've been bantering for a while. We can talk about baseball. Baseball's only 3 weeks away.
I know. Gregory Polanco's the greatest outfielder to have ever lived. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. Sure.
He's 6'5", can go 25-25, get you like a 320-ish OBP.
Yeah, I mean he's gonna be decent. I like the Pirates. Nobody's giving the Pirates any love this year. If their young pitchers come around this year and develop all at the same time, yeah, they could be pushing the Cardinals for a wild card spot, I think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, everybody just got distracted because of the Cubs. Like last year was a down year for the Pirates, and we weren't that down.
Yeah, no, you were over 500, right? You had like what 84 and 78, something like that.
Yeah, it was not a bad season. It's just Cubs and Cardinals in your division is always going to make it tough. Although the Cardinals also had a down season, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
the Reds are garbage. The Brewers are equally garbage.
Garbage.
So it'll be the three of us again trying to contend.
It's a battle of attrition for the bottom spot.
It sure is. Although I do think we're still a pitcher away. I think we really should have gone heavier for Quintana. I mean, unless we really believe that Glasnow can make a difference the second half of this season.
I think if you can get 50 to 55 starts out of
Cool Tyon
and Glasnow this year, I think that you'll win close to 90.
Yeah.
That's a big if. If you can get 55 starts from those three guys, I think that you'll be pushing 90, because they'll probably win, 50% of those.
Yeah.
Or the team will win 50% of those starts. So that's 27 wins right there.
Yeah. And talking about how last year was a down year, our best pitcher and best player had bad years in Cole and Kutch. So
yeah. If those, and that's fine. That's just half of the games, they're going to win more than they'll probably win 2/3. So that's probably close to 40 wins. So, yep. I mean, if you're getting 40 wins out of your bottom four, your fourth and fifth starter, basically,
which is probably Chad Kuhl and Nova, because we brought Nova back.
Oh yeah. No, I think Nova's your two.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
I'd probably go Cole, Taillon, Nova, Glasnow, Kuhl.
I think they probably. I think it'll be Cole, not Nova, and then Taillon to start the season, and then maybe Taillon will jump over and base because he's a lefty. So
yeah. Also, I don't think we're gonna trade Kutch. I think we're gonna be in a pretty good position in July. And we're just gonna push it.
It depends on where they are in July. The Pirates are gonna be one of those teams that they have significant pieces to trade at the deadline, but it all depends on where they are when it comes to deadline. Because Kutch is going to be the sexiest name on the market, the biggest bat available, most likely.
Yeah, I'd agree. How are you feeling about your Yanks?
I'm offensively. Next year. Yeah. Basically, 2018 is looking bright. Our pitching staff, we need to be healthy all year. Tanaka's going to be Tanaka, hopefully, if he can stay healthy. Sabathia was very underrated last year. I know his record and his ERA didn't say so, but look at his pitch-to-contact rate. He's a pitch-to-contact pitcher now. He's not like a swing-and-miss guy anymore. He's not the CeCe Sabathia we saw when he was like with the Brewers in the playoffs that one year. They're going to need a lot of luck this year to be a contender. And their young players, Greg Bird's got to do something. Aaron Judge has got to not strike out 250 times, and they got to get something significant out of their middle infield again with Castro and Didi.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, there's your brief baseball preview here. You're welcome, everyone. But now we're out of time, so I want to tell the folks that they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie, or you can find my writings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, newly minted lead fantasy writer for Goal.com. It's technically official. I haven't actually written for them yet, but that'll start happening next week. So keep an eye out for that. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. You can find our stuff on EPL Roundtable, but you're already listening to it. But you should listen to our other shows as well. We have a Premier League show and a Championship show. Also, we do a DFS show, which both of us just mentioned infinity times. Was doing the rounds a little bit on Twitter earlier today, which I think we sent that out from the EPL Roundtable Twitter and also our personal ones. So be sure to give that a look-see. Also, this goes out on allinsportstalk.com and their app, All in Sports Talk, on both the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Thank you guys so much for joining and listening and playing and loving and not fighting. And we'll catch you next week.
Peace.